me and maybe my baby, my wife. I don't know if they would even come. And Lord. But Lord hasn't come yet. He's coming soon. I'll keep preaching until he does and teaching by God's grace. And I'm glad we have a Bible that stands. Amen. And I know what one it is. It's right here, the one I got, and probably the one you got, the King James Bible. And that's what we're going to be opening tonight. And go back to 1 John. So if you have your Bible here, if you go to 1 John, and I'm not going to go real long tonight because I do really enjoy praying, and we need some prayer probably for a lot of things. So not going to go that long, but just some things finishing out 1 John. And hey, I just want to say this. Thank you for everyone taking care of us so well in our stay here. We're leaving this Saturday, Lord willing, heading down to the snowless country of Alabama and Pensacola, Florida. Going to be going to the blowout, and it's our last one that we can make, and the Lord opened the door to go down there. Praying about it, so we're going to be going down there, and I'm just trying to outrun the snow, amen? I'm trying to get away from it. Yeah, amen. No, I like the snow, but I don't like doing these two or three, and my life consists of probably 20 hours a week driving, you know, 25, 30, and so I'm driving it. We drove in four-wheel drive today and saw three or four semis in the median, in the middle of the ditch, over on the way from Elkhart, over in eastern Indiana in the morning. So there was just a big snowstorm coming down from Lake Michigan or whatever. And anyways, just it was clear over here. But over there, it was just people were in the ditch. And I don't know how many, I've probably seen about 30 cars to 40 with semis on their side in the last month of driving on the road. And I've had my wheels spin out on me a number of times, and so I just know it's God's grace. So anyways, 1 John, and I just want to thank you for everyone letting us stay here, and your pastor, I'll be able to thank him, and thank you for everyone bringing us little eggs and food and milk, and we prayed over all of it, amen. We had to pray hard over some of it. We really had to pray over something. We were like, what is this? You know, God, we lifted it up, and we gave it to the baby always first, all the food that you gave us, so she's living, so. 1 John chapter 1, we'll reread 3 through 10. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And, we'll keep going. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And, so we're a prayer, Lord, just thank you for tonight. Thank you for the short time we have tonight to get into your word. And Lord, I know that no one here has mastered it. And this is a book that only you've mastered. And we need your help to open the seals and to figure out what we need to hear tonight. I pray that all the distractions and all the things of today would not get in our way to get a blessing. And Lord, I pray for the pastor and whatever he's facing at this hour, or if he's sleeping or whatever it is. Pray that his trip would be fruitful, and that he went over there for whatever agenda. I pray he'd accomplish that, but also maybe some people would be saved, and some great things eternally would happen. And I pray that for anyone else tonight that's traveling or not here, that you'd help them, Lord, to stay faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Confess your sins in 1 John 1:9, and that's last week. Basically rehearse. If you weren't here last week, the only thing I went into was why confessing your sins in the Old Testament was not going to assure you salvation, and in the New Testament, that's not the way you get saved anyways. So confessing your sins is not for salvation. And that's what I went into last week, and I know a lot of you got bored with that. So today, we're going to be going into confessing your sins for a believer. I take it a lot of us here are saved, amen? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, hopefully you pay attention, because the Holy Spirit reproves of sin. And that's what we're going to look at here. And the first point I'm going to look at is, what is sin? What is sin? Confess your sins. Well, you got to know what sin is before you can confess it. And like I was saying last week as a joke, I may look at you and I may just say, I know what sin is in that person. You know, I may say, that drunkard, that's a sinner. And then you look at me and I got a tie on and shoes and I don't got any cufflinks on, but I'm dressed up a little, and trust me, I got a lot of sin myself. Amen? Because it's spiritual. What is sin? Well, we already looked at why we do not confess our sins for salvation, but we confess them to stay in the fellowship, and we're going to look at that. But if you have your Bible here, if you look at, turn, if you can, to two places in John. John 16. John 16, 8. And also John 8. So John 16 and John 8. And I'm just going to read these verses, and I'm not going to spend much time on this. I'm sure well aware that a lot of you know what sin is. But just to kind of put a finger on it, is John 8. We'll start there. John 8. And you all know the story here. John 8, verse 1. Verse 3. We'll just go to John 8, 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. Lord says, I challenge you, if you're sinless and perfect here today, you can throw a stone. Obviously, there's no stone thrown if you look on here in verse 8. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He wrote. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, he's saying, he that is without sin. So, they're supposed to do a search over themselves and see if they're without sin. All of them are standing there. And at this point, he said, if you're without sin, go ahead, grab a stone. And then he said, but first, when you're looking around for a stone, look at what I wrote on the ground. And what he did was he wrote Leviticus. You know, when the people are caught in adultery, you're supposed to kill the woman and the man. Both of them. So where was the man? He wasn't there. It was a setup. Either it was a setup or it was one of their buddies. We don't really know. All we know is that the man, it could have been one of them. Caught in the very act. They caught this woman in adultery in the very act. Could have been one of those men. And all they wanted to do is see how the Lord was going to kill this lady or how he was not going to take heed to Moses, or they were watching what he would do. And the Lord wrote scripture on the ground. And that's how we know what sin is by this book right here. Without this book, everyone would just lift a stone and made a big old mess there. And all the Lord did was write some scripture on the ground. And so they realized that they had sin and they didn't get a stone because of the Word of God. So the Word of God brought to light their sin, and they just went out. Eldest to the youngest. Eldest to the last, it says. So that's what that's why the importance of getting in this book. And the more you get in this book, and Jesus writes the Word of God in front of your eyes, the more you're going to realize really what sin is. And that's what I'm saying. That's why when you get saved, you don't even... And everyone knows that. I'm not even going to spend much time on this. I think tonight you're well aware of what sin is. Everyone here can name me 100 sins, and then someone else could add a couple, and someone could add a couple. We could be here all night just listing sins. Lying, stealing, covetousness, you know, hitting your sister, amen? Oh, you guys don't like that one. How about not brushing your teeth? What if that was, what if the Lord wants you to just take care of your body? I mean, we can get into some real crazy... Whatever the Lord's shown you, whatever the Lord's shown me. And to me, my sin could be the Lord wants me up at 7. That's when the Lord said, I want you up. And that could be totally out. That's not even a problem for you. Maybe you're already at work, or maybe the Lord wants you to get up at 9. Or what I'm saying is to you, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And it could be just good for your walk with God. A lot of things could be good for your walk that aren't good for my walk. and vice versa. And that's why it's personal. You got to deal with Jesus Christ, and He'll show you what sin is in your heart. And obviously, there's some Ten Commandments. There's a lot of things that are sin for all. And anyways, the last thing is if you go to John 16, and you confess what you know to be sin. So you're not going to sit there day and night and confess sins that you don't know, or sins that you just read. I mean, the Holy Spirit's going to put a finger on sin. You're going to know when you sin. You're going to know. In John 16, we read about the Comforter in verse 7. Jesus Christ says in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." The Comforter. Well, let's just stop there. Man, when you think about the Comforter, you're thinking about like the Michelin Man. Like you're thinking this puffy pillow guy. You know, you're thinking comfort. Boy, I'm looking forward to this guy coming. What's the Comforter going to do? He's going to come and put a finger in your face, and they're going to reprove this world of sin. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You say, why is that a comfort? Because then you know where you're wrong. That's the comfort, is you want to be... Who wants to be wrong with God and not know it? Well, that's a comfort to know. We got someone in this world, the Holy Spirit, and look what He does in verse 8. "And when He is come, the Comforter, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment." And don't worry, He'll bear witness of the truth. He says in verse 13, "Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and will show you things to come." Right here is what He hears, the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth right here. Just like in the tabernacle, the only light that was on the showbread was the candlestick, type of Holy Spirit. The only light that you're going to get on this book is the Holy Spirit. The only thing that's going to be on your sin, the light that's going to show you where you're off, is this book. And there's a story in the Old Testament, I don't remember if it was Josiah, I think it was, or something, and they had a lot of wrath on them. Israel had a bunch of wrath on them, but they didn't even know it. They didn't understand what was going on. And then they found, when they were redoing the temple, they found the book of the law, and Shaphan or someone read it, and someone read it, and eventually they read it to the king, and the king rent his clothes, and he said, "This is why the great wrath of God is on our nation, or on us." And they found the book. This book will show you, it'll reveal to you a lot of things, and it'll show you your sin. And I'm just going to end with this. If you turn to, I'm just going to tell you the story here real quick. Everyone knows about David sinning with Bathsheba. And I'm just going to hit a little point here, a side point, on the importance of preachers. Preachers are very important people. And I'm not saying that because I'm called to preach. I'm just like you. I look to preaching all the time. I like to get it. That's why I'm going to the blowout. I need to get dished out to me. And anyways, preachers, what does a preacher do? All he does is he opens the book. That's what he's supposed to deal with. He's dealing with the Word of God. And a good preacher was Nathan when he went to David. He said, "Thou art the man." And it has to do with what we're talking about, because the end of 2 Samuel 11, the last verse, it says about what David did, and then it says, "And the thing that David did displeased the Lord." The next chapter comes, and you got Nathan getting sent to David. You say, why did God send Nathan to David? To reveal to him the judgment that was going to come on David. The killing of his child was already, God already had it in his mind. He said, "I'm displeased with what David did." But the preacher came to David and said, "Thou art the man." And David realized his sin. He was in darkness, David. David sitting there and he's saying, "I heard this guy, whoever this guy is, that would take a lamb out of this poor man's bosom and fix it for a wayfaring man, he should return it fourfold." And David's just angry. He says, "Whoever this man is." And you know what it said? "Thou art the man." So you see, David was in darkness, and the judgment of God was already going to fall on his son that died. But the whole thing is that a preacher opened David's eyes. That's what it really did. A preacher will open your eyes sometimes. I remember many times where I've been sitting in the pew, and as soon as the preacher, I remember one sermon this guy preached. It was over in Germany, actually, this last trip, and this guy got up, and he read a verse, and his sermon was called "Don't Touch the Glory." So he gets up there, and he's preaching "Don't Touch the Glory," and I'm sitting there going, "This sermon, all right, this is what a preacher does." You know what he does? I'll show you. This is what, maybe you do it too. Is someone starts preaching and I go like this. I don't know if I close my Bible, but I was like, I already know where he's going. I don't even need this sermon. That's what I did. It was right at me the whole time. He's sitting there and his whole sermon was just, don't touch the glory. It's God's. And he was talking about how this Indian preacher or something in Africa just kept on saying, you know, what you see around here and what you see happening here is an act of God. It's not yours. You didn't do it. You know, basically kept rehearsing is all glory goes to God. Don't touch the glory. Just kept saying that over and over. And at the end, I was like, man, I just can't touch the glory. I got to back off. Amen. And there's a few things you don't do. You don't say, oh, that's not for me. It's going to be for you. That's number one. And then there's things that I remember my wife, here's another thing, is my wife says, we'll be in like a Walmart or somewhere to buy something. She goes, do we need that? And I say, no, we don't need it. I won't even pray about it. I've said that about 5 times, and I've ended up buying the thing or doing every single thing I said I won't pray about it. So don't say that either. My wife will say, do you think we should go over there and visit so-and-so? I said, no, we don't want to do that. God doesn't want us to do that. I'm not even going to pray about it. And God's like, you're going to go do that. So I don't do that anymore. Amen. I wouldn't suggest saying I won't pray about it because the Lord will make you do it. So anyways, let's get back. That was a rabbit trail. Confessing your sin. You're going to confess what the Holy Spirit shows you from this book. If you have a neighbor, if you have someone in your face that puts a finger in your face but doesn't have any scripture behind what they're saying to you, or the Holy Spirit doesn't bear witness to what they're saying, don't worry about it. That's it. You know, whatever the Lord calls sin, He'll call it sin. Because it's against God. That's it. So just line up with the Bible. Line up with the Bible. And anyways, let's go back here to 1 John. And next thing is, this is what I wanted to really get at tonight, is confessing your sins to God. That's who you confess them to. You confess them to Jesus Christ. You don't confess them to the Pope. You don't confess them to Mary. You don't confess your sins to any man. Amen? Is there any church that you know like that? I know a church. I know a church where their whole religion is based on a confession booth. A big part of their religion. And you know that church, Catholic Church. And if you turn over to 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. And if you turn also to Hebrews 2:11, He's our priest. Jesus Christ is our high priest. And Hebrews 2:11, the Bible says, well, we'll just go down to verse 2:11. For both he that sanctifieth, that's Jesus Christ, and they who are sanctified, that's us tonight, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear and death were all life, their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Now obviously, doctrinally it's talking about Israel, but we're sanctified by what he did on the cross. Or, I mean, right here it's actually everyone. There's no Jew or Gentile. But he's talking about Abraham here because that's the Lord came from, is a Jew. In verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, just like Joseph was like his brethren, or David was in the midst of his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And so, with that said, you confess your sins to the high priest, amen? And it's not going to be Annas and Caiaphas. It's not going to be Pope Francis, the whatever he is, Pope John the Paul. And see, number one, you confess your sins to God because they're against God. Why would you confess them to the Father, whatever the Father is in your church? Why would you do that? And you know what? I'm not going to spend much time talking about the Catholic Church tonight. And there's a lot of problems in the Baptist Church. There's a lot of problems in the Lutheran Church. There's a lot of problems in every church, amen? But I'll tell you what, as a really, if you look into the Catholic Church and this system that they have of confessing their sins is a very wicked system. It's very wicked, and many people have been, they have a lot of kids that are molested by this whole system. It's a way to get to the kids. It's a way to get to your wallet. It's a way to lord over you. It's a way to keep you with a false religion and go to hell. It's a way, it's a bad way. It's the devil's way. The devil has a lot of boost in his church. And but the Lord in his church, he has a lot of mercy. That's what he has. He has a lot of mercy and confessing to God alone. Now, I want to read you a joke about a confession booth. Amen. I found this. Hopefully you can get a laugh. So I'm not big on jokes. I mean, obviously, if you know me, I don't really laugh a lot or anything like that. But confessional booths. This is a confessional booth auction. So there was a, and it happened to be in Vienna. So in Vienna, they were auctioning off a confession booth, right? On eBay or whatever. I guess they were doing a remodel in Vienna. This actually happened in 2010. So in 2010, they were auctioning off a confession booth, and this is what happened. Oh, this is the article. Some Catholics may well sweat in the confessional as they admit to things they shouldn't have done. But Vienna's archdiocese had ruled that the box-like structure where believers confess their sins cannot be turned into a sauna. So here it is. Bidding on a confessional described on eBay as an ideal conversion into a one-person sauna, a small bar or a children's playhouse was ended when the archdiocese stepped in. Archdiocese spokesman Eric Leitenberger told the Daily Salzburger Nachrichten, or the newspaper, that auctioning objects that were used for dispensing the sacraments is not acceptable. Confessionals should not be converted into saunas or bars, he quoted Tuesday as saying. Why not? Why don't we just make it into something useful, amen? I mean, I would love to see my kid playing in a little confessional. I'd bid on one, amen? Wouldn't that be something to have one of those and your kid playing it? And he said, it's not acceptable. And this is another part. This is how I stumbled on. This is a real story here. The confessional was offered for auction by a Vienna church undergoing renovations. Curiously, the highest reported amount offered by one of the 40 bidders before the item was yanked from the internet Monday was $666.66. That's it. Well, there you go. If that's not enough proof for you here tonight, that's enough for me. Let's go. Let's go home. Amen. So, that's a joke by the Lord, right? Lord, let that thing happen. And it's true. That was a true story. July 2010. And they yanked it, but it ended up at $666.66. So I don't know who was bidding or how they were. Maybe they were adding $20 and it added up to that. And that's what the church is. That's the number of a man, Revelation. And that's their leader, the beast. And that's a church that will turn you into a beast. That's what it will do. And I'm not going to get into the confession booths. All the Lord said was, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. I'm not going to go into a place and call someone father. I remember when I was on the road, I had some... Now listen, if you're looking at me tonight and you think I'm pretty wild or I'm not real learned or anything, I used to be even worse, amen? I'm pretty young, but I was even younger, okay? I wasn't older, I'm getting younger. I was real, really out there. So pray for me, amen? All I know is I was on the road one time, before I was married, and so this one guy, this drunker, kind of white-haired guy, came up to my truck, or he looked at me and he said something. Oh, I said, can I give you a gospel track or something? He goes, I already know all about that, son. Like he's my, you know, he said son to me or something. And I know a lot of Southerners, they call you son, or, you know, I have a couple preachers, and every once I call them, they go, how you doing, son? You know, older preacher. I don't have a problem with that. This guy was a dirty, white-haired drunkard. I'm coming out of a motel room. He goes, well, I already know about that, son. And I just leaned over the truck. I said, hey, don't call me son, you dirty sinner. I said, you're just out here in sin, and I'm doing God's work. And I said, don't call me son. I was like, I'm not even close to anything like your son. And I said, you think you're going to raise someone that I'm trying to do God's work the way you are? And, okay, now you're not supposed to answer a guy like that, right? Well, you know what he said? He ended up breaking down and going, you're right, you know, I'm not living right. You're right, I can't, you're right, you're not my son, and I got kids, and I'm not living right. That's what I did, amen? And I'm not going to call anyone father on this earth. that's not my Father in heaven. Do you know about your Father in heaven? He's worth being called Father, amen? And he's the one that saved our soul from hell. I don't have a problem calling him Father. I'm not going to call these guys, some of the dirtiest men in the world are these guys that sit behind the grate and they say, now, what'd you do on Monday? How'd you do it? How many times have you did it? Have you ever thought about doing that, though? Oh, you haven't. Well, you might do that one day. Maybe you should confess it now. I mean, to go into the stories about these priests will take all night and make you throw up. But I'm glad we don't have to do that, amen? I'm glad the place of confession is a place of sanctification, amen? I'm glad that when I get before the Lord, I know that I'm not going to have some dirty person to deal with. I'm dealing with someone that's able to succor. That means he's going to help you out when you're in that place, amen? Because he was in the flesh once. Oh, wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from the body of his death? You know what? I'm glad I have a Savior that conquered this old carcass. And that you can go to him and say, that's the glory. That's what you're giving him glory. You're saying, Lord, you did it, and I just fell. I'm glad you did it, Lord. I'm glad you did it. When you confess your sin, you're confessing to God, you did something I'm not doing right now. I can't live a sinless life. I just fell, Lord. And that's confessing your sin is... It keeps you in the light, and that's the last thing I want to say is, because confessing your sins is done wrong today, or done for the wrong reason, it's very important. That's why it's important. It keeps you in the light, and it keeps you in fellowship with the Lord. You can't have fellowship without doing what John said here. Sorry, excuse me. Over and over in 1 John 1, you see John say the word fellowship, fellowship. And like I said last week, if there's any been a man that has been close to Jesus Christ, it's John. He leaned his head upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. That's who Jesus Christ trusted his mother with. He said, John, behold their mother, your mother. Amen? So, I mean, I know that Mary maybe didn't do everything right or whatever, but Jesus Christ said, you know what? I need a man to take care of my mother. John, behold your mother. And an old black preacher had a joke about that, and he said, Jesus Christ at one time looked at John and said, behold your mother. And you know what most of us would do? We'd be like, rats. I got to take care of a lady? Oh, man. You know, and John was probably like, Lord, that's going to be a lot of work, you know, this and that. But you know what John got to do later? He got to write a bunch of these books at the end. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he wrote Revelation. And so the black preacher said, John, you behold your mother, son. And then he said, John, write Revelation. So, that's the joke, kind of. You know, if you read Revelation, you got some serious, crazy things going on. And that's prophecy. But you know what? That just shows the heart of God. God is going to have you, and the fellowship with God is going to be a sweet thing. It's a balanced thing. And walking in the light. But I'll tell you this, is that staying in fellowship with Jesus Christ is the toughest thing you're going to do after you get saved. It's to stay in touch. Keep the communication open. Because that's what the devil's fought. And if you turn your Bible to Genesis 3, we'll kind of look at Adam, and then we'll just end there, take a look at the old nature. You know, they always say this Adamic nature. Well, then why don't we take a look at Adam and see what this nature wants to do. This nature wants to hide when you sin. This nature does not want to come out of hiding. In Genesis 3, look at verse 8. Well, look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And I'm not going to preach on this tonight, but the first thing that your flesh is going to want to do after you sin is to cover it up some other way. And that's why confessing your sin, it seems to be, a lot of times in our life, something that we put off. Don't put it off. In 1 John, it says, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. When you sin, you're taking your place away from that light. You're not wanting to live in the light. You're wanting to get in the darkness. That's why, and this is a condemnation, light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why people don't want to get back in the book. That's why people leave church, because what they're doing just doesn't go with the book. It just doesn't go. It just, you know, the preacher, what he says on Sunday, you know what it did? It just brought me, it reminded me of Friday night and Saturday night and what I love to do. It just didn't go with the book. And, you know, your life has to line up with this book. And you know what Adam did? What he did was not line up with what God said. Verse 7, he covers it up, and in verse 8, he hides. And he hid amongst the presence of the Lord or he hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And he hid. He hid when he heard the voice of God. And like I was already saying, is when Adam finally heard the voice is when he hid. And I want to end with this, is that the voice that we hear when you're right with God is the voice of Song of Solomon. That's the voice we hear. The one that says, you know, dearly beloved, or he said, my dove, my undefiled, let me hear thy voice. That's the God we serve. When you're right with God, you got a God of Song of Solomon. Read some of that. You got a God that says, let me hear the voice. You're comely and you're doing right, and I love you. And let's go on. He's given you the fruit of the word. He's given you all sorts of things in Song of Solomon. It's a picture of the bride and the bridegroom. Well, when you sin and you just keep that and you say, Lord, I'm not really doing wrong. Listen, it's naked and open to Him already. It's already open. Lord already knows everyone here and everyone's heart. Don't hide it from Him. And listen, the Lord is not going to smack you on the head when you confess. The Lord, really, a lot of times, He'll be like the prodigal son. He'll look at you and wait for your coming. And He'll say, let's kill a fat calf. Kill a fat calf. Let's get a ring. Put some shoes or whatever on this boy. And let's make merry. For once my son was lost, and now he's found. And that's the way the Lord deals with you. You got to come back in the fellowship. The Lord didn't save you to be in darkness anymore. He wants you to, if you can, you apply to this book and you confess to the Lord what you did wrong. And, you've seen in your life. The hardest place is to say, Lord, I'm wrong and I did it. And just to leave it with God. And that's what we need to do. We need to spend more time on our face and confess. And because the Lord, He's not walking ahead. He's standing right there. And there's been a lot of Christians that have just, the Lord is, listen, the Lord is not moving on to show you anything more. He's not going to deal with you. You're not walking in life. If you're not walking, you're staying right here still. If you're not walking with God, you can't walk. You're not walking forward. So when you're not confessing your sins and you just try to hide it or whatever you're trying to do, and you may fool people by going to church or moving up the ladder and work or whatever, but God's right there and saying, we're not walking in the light. We're right here. So that's it. You gotta be, if like it says, like the old bumper sticker says, it's not settled until it's settled with God. That's it. You may settle with everyone, but when this flesh, you know what? This flesh doesn't mind if you confess it to men, as long as you don't get it right with God, because it's against God you sin. And I'll just end with that. And I know tonight, man, tonight was just some skim milk for you guys. You guys get preached at, and you guys go deep in the Word of this church. I know that. But just to remind you is one of the most simple and absolute things you need to do is spend time with the Lord and say, admit your guilt and your sin before Him and say, Lord, I need your blood to cover it. Wash me today. And like David says, see if there be any wicked way in me and that kind of stuff. That's where real fellowship is built on, is an honest walk with the Lord. And that's where a lot of people don't want. They don't want to be honest. You're not going to go far unless you're honest with the Lord. And tell you what, there's been some real honest men here. And you look in the Bible, and the ones like David, who was a great sinner, but a great confessor, a great repenter, because repentance is of the heart, a changing of the mind toward God and things. And David, he was always right with the Lord. He ended right. Lord, just thank you for tonight. And Lord, I know that, Father, we need to confess our sins, and we fall short. But Lord, we know that our life is not a dreary, darksome life. We know that, Lord, we have a lot of joy. And Lord, we know that the blessings of God are just past finding out. And Father, we just thank you for being merciful, and you don't beat us over the head twice. If we search this book and we apply this book to our life and we try to make amends and live according to the light we have in this book, Lord, you've been very gracious to give us the word. And thank you, Father, for that we can take this book and look over ourselves and examine ourselves. And thank you, God, for your mercy and being a high priest, and that we don't have to go down the road and try to make it to a confession booth tonight. We can just deal with you one-on-one, and we don't have to deal with any man. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.